We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yield Raven, Ninja Skelts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Beandob, Monster, Icebug, Spenguin, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Zynison, Dully Couch Chef, Paul Turner, Jeff Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Lato Play, and Wisp. If you'd like to join the list of patrons, head over to WeLikeDota.com and follow the links to the Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 288, starts now. Welcome, everyone, to We Like Dota, episode 288. The internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I am your host today, Jim, and I am joined by Arian.
What's up, gamers? Hello, internet.
How are you?
Yeah, I thought I'd combine my catchphrase with stealing your catchphrase. Turned out pretty well.
Nice. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
Turned out pretty well.
Oh, I hear another voice. Who is that?
It me. Hello. What?
Sam's here.
I'm back. Oh my god.
Sam the Plaid Pirate.
Woo woo. Hello.
Hey,
you
good to see
German
you.
German now.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my kids are going to buy an Alo t-shirt in what's the game? New Horizons? What's Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
They're like, What's Alo? What's an Alo shirt? I was like, it's German for hello.
How did you know that? Because of me? Or did you just know it?
I took a few years of German in college.
I guess.
No, I did.
I was hoping I'd like actually teach you something. Apparently not.
Oh, you have.
What have I taught you, Jim?
You've taught me that you've taught me about the value of friendship and trusting other people.
You're so nice.
Even man. On the internet.
That's very
so nice.
Yeah, I went to see you in person after we met on the internet. So, and we didn't kill each other at all.
Almost. I was close, actually.
Well, I'll see you when you come back.
Oh, no.
Hey, Sam, how have you been doing?
I've been doing well. I have to brag about Adrian and I's total galaxy brain, 100% intentional timing of pregnancy.
Okay.
So, getting pregnant, as it turns out, is not always super easy. So
this is not going in a good direction, but continue. So, a family friendly direction.
Yeah, no, family friendly indeed. But way more goes into it than I really had known about, and you have to like time things. It's very strange, and it doesn't just happen. So. It just so happens that Adriana's due date is coming up, and it perfectly aligns with my office is planning to start getting people back into the office beginning June 1st. Adriana's due date is a week after, which is perfect, because this means that I just get to continue to work from home, and then when they want us to go back into the office, I will not have to go, and it's just the best. Yeah, so I'm very pleased about how this has all worked out for us.
Perfect.
Very cool.
Yeah,
glad there's it's been at great. Least something positive coming out of this horrible situation.
Yeah, it is a bad situation, but
yeah. Thank you, coronavirus. Sam,
thank you, coronavirus.
Stay home for a little longer.
That's right. Yeah, it's all about me. That's all I have. It's just how excited I am to not have to go back to work until September. It's pretty
good. When are you going to reveal the name of the child, Sam?
I'm really curious.
I'm hoping that you're going to name it Arian.
Ariana.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, right. It's going to be a girl, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Is that the gender reveal?
It's gonna be a little girl. We had somebody actually come over today and drop off a crocheted blue whale for the little girl. It's very exciting. It's very cute. Yeah, maybe I'll put a picture of it in the Discord. It's highly adorable.
Yeah, so it would be the perfect situation to plug the Discord, but I wouldn't want to use your unborn baby to get more people into our Discord. All right.
It's fine.
You guys want to move on to the Dota feelings? Because I think you guys have been pretty good about Dota this week.
Oh, yeah! Oh, look at it go! Oh, yeah!
Yeah, we've played quite a bit.
Wow. Many dotes.
Yep, we've even played together, Sam.
Yeah, poor you.
I don't know, poor all of us.
Poor all of us. Nobody won.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, last week we played a couple games and they were fun. This week we played a couple games and they were fun, but they were not successful.
Well, depends how you measure success. Certainly not winning efforts.
Yeah, not for our team.
Not for our team. That's right.
Yeah, but they were a good time. I've been playing. I played this hero Mars. Have you heard of him?
Oh,
yeah. I've been seeing him a lot right now. Kind of good hero.
Dude, Mars is so easy. I'm reading descriptions of his abilities, and like, just completely dominating this game that we played. It was wild. The hero is very, very good. The cooldowns are so low. Like even his ultimate, the Arena of Blood, like it was just up every team fight. And it's just like a team fight winning ultimate. It was crazy. Like, why would you play, like any of those long cooldown heroes, like Tide or Enigma or something, if Mars is in the pool?
That's true. Are you good at hitting Spearstrom?
Oh, you bet I am.
I'm not sure if I believe that.
Oh, no, it's true. I had a shadow demon. Oh, it was so cool. We had a shadow demon who, like, first picked on our team. And we went up against an Abaddon, and the Abaddon, I think, was trying to play carry.
Mm.
But illusions carry Abaddon's passive. So the Shadow Demon would just egg him, and then, like, instantly, it would proc the two illusions would proc the passive on the Abaddon, and the Abaddon couldn't do anything.
Ooh, bad.
It was so irritating. And then we had one move where a storm, like, zipped over to us, and the Shadow Demon, like, instantly eggs him once he stops. And I threw up the Arena of Blood, and as he came out of the egg, I speared him to the wall. So my spears were pretty good.
It's pretty good timing,
I'll say.
Did you combo spear with the disruption from Shadow Demon?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I tried to hit it so he didn't have time to zip. I tried to get it right on. It was really good. The hero is just wild. And then, in fact, we were winning so badly, the other team started intentionally feeding. And then it turned out they were a 5-stack too. And so we started talking to them, and they fed me 3-star on my quest at the end of the game.
Oh, that's nice.
They just kind of like walked out of their fountain and stood next to trees so I could spear them into trees.
I always ask for that in old shit. If I have like burn, like if I play dot hero and I have to get dots on people, they always just go outside of base and let me dot them. It's very, very nice if people do that.
Yeah, I would do it if I was.
Yeah, a bit of solidarity in the Dota community. Game. It's badly needed right now.
Yeah, they were nice too. It was a good time.
It's tough.
How about you, Arian? How have your games gone?
Oh boy, I've played not a lot of Dota this week. I started playing ranked again, and I don't know how, but I think maybe there was like a sneak recalibration or something. I just lost like because I didn't touch ranked for a long while, and then when I started playing ranked again, I had like 400 MMR less. So now, like, every game that I play is super easy because I felt like I've not, like, I mean, I'm sure I've gotten a bit worse without noticing, but I don't think I've gotten, like, the equivalent of 400 MMR worse. So every game that I play, that I queue, it's pretty easy. And what's also really nice is because most of the games that I play mid, I play on 100 ping because I play on the NA servers. So, when I was a young kid, I used to read Dragon Ball, and they were like fighters, right? And
so they had these turtle weighted
yeah,
clothes.
Exactly. They had like these turtle shells. And every time I queue on like my actual good EU ping now, it feels like I'm taking off the turtle shell and I'm on my full strength without being inhibited. Feels really good.
I remember Piccolo, the first time he fights Goku, he takes off his clothes and Goku does the same thing and they just both go like, oh!
Yes. Plonk.
Do you take off your clothes too, Arian?
Yes.
Yeah, I always no pants? Naked. Yeah. No pants.
I always play with a weighted vest on, so maybe that's my problem.
I've also played Pangolier right now. I think it's the new Viva I want to learn. He's very, like, fun. I like just being able to flash farm with his Q, because, like, I have fighting down most of the time in Dota, but I'm not very good at farming. So having a Q that, like, makes farming kind of trivial, it's very nice to have. And then, like, he's also, like, just a super fun hero, as is the case with like most newly added heroes, because they get like all the new fancy mechanics like vector targeting, and his ult is pretty unique and stuff like that. So he's been very fun. And then I've also been playing some unranked with some listeners of ours. Just the timings lined up pretty well. I've played with Juvu, Tart, Sam. It's like the fifth Sam I know from Feel Like Dota. And the old Raven, and we've just been stomping really hard. And yesterday we played against a 5-stack, and I picked mid Morphling, and I was lucky enough to lane against the Clockwork, so I like destroyed my lane super hard. And then we got matched against them again, and I picked mid Ayan, and my lane went okay. I played against a like level 21 Rubick, so I was pretty scared because Rubick can like destroy Ayan in lane. But I guess he just like bought a boosted account or something, because he didn't play like a person who was level 21 Rubick. In the first 3 minutes, he used his W spell once. So yikes. Like oh, I got a free lane, because after level 5, I can pretty much be self-sufficient. And yeah, I just...
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Can you bounce that back with AMZ?
Nah, you can't, because it's I mean, if he casts it directly on you, you can obviously, but it's very hard to do because it's an instant cast. But if
right, but like, I'm saying the bounce, you can't reflect the bounce.
It's
back.
Not okay. Only if it's an instant cast. But I had some good reflections there. I reflected a lot of coconuts, which is always nice to do.
Nice.
Reflected some Enigma stuns, and Wraith King stunned me 3 times, and I mean, he tried to stun me 3 times and he got stunned himself 3 times. It's always very satisfying. And I ended that game with 45k net worth. I got to max out on my AM, because we took megas pretty early, but finishing was kind of hard because they had 2 repair kits, 1 repair kit that they stole from us and 1 repair kit that they found themselves. So like hitting the ancient was super hard. So I got to just like farm, and then I ended the game with a 6-slotted inventory. I had a Butterfly, Monkey King by Abyssal, Manta, Belfry, Eye of Skadi. Then I had an Eden Moonshard, Eden Aghanim Scepter, and I was level 30.
Nice.
Yes, 1 in a million. Felt really good. Yeah, that's my weekend order. I wish AM was like not as farm reliant, because he's so much fun to play when you just have like a Manta Abyssal and get to jump people. But I guess if you could do that without farming for 20 minutes, it would be pretty imber. But I mean, yeah, but if they like made a hero who's like similar, I mean, if they just like reworked AM into a less farm reliant hero, I would play the shit out of that hero. My God, I would play nothing else. So much fun. Just blinking around. Ah, it's so good. Yeah. That's my weekend Dota. How about you, Sam?
My weekend Dota, I felt famous.
Famous? Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I you know, played I think it was a turbo game, and this guy was honestly kinda toxic. he just kept like, I think our offlaner had a really bad game, and so basically, and the person was, the mid player was toxic, and he was just like, Well, what do you expect when Underlord is 0-8? Blah, 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 la, 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 wah, wah, wah.
Which hero, like, okay, did you
play? I don't even remember. He also, I don't think, like, had a single kill. So it was pretty rough.
Nice.
And afterwards, I was in the post-chat lobby waiting for my next cue to pop, and he goes, wait, Plaid Pirate? I was like, yeah. He's like, you I know you do the podcast. And I just, like, didn't know what to say. I was like, it's me, thanks for listening, I don't want to talk to you at all, you're not nice. So it was it's kind of a tough one, I'm not gonna lie.
I feel like we're pretty non-toxic listeners overall, so maybe that was just an outlier.
Yeah, I think, it was, not great. Yeah,
guys, if you're toxic in your Dota games, don't listen to this podcast. I probably just, like, eviscerated half of our listenership, but it's fine.
Unsubscribe, that's all.
Yeah, Baelect already unsubscribed from the what's the thing where you could donate money?
Patreon.
The what Patreon. Yeah, he already un-Patreoned himself.
What?
I mean, he is pretty toxic.
That's
I don't know why. He only has like 13,000 commands.
Yeah, and that's just because he plays a ton of games. He is pretty toxic, from what I've heard.
From what I understand.
From what I've heard. Hey, have you, can I ask you a question, Arian?
Sure, let's go.
Have you had any, did you guys play any, PPDL stuff?
We did not. The team we were supposed to play, dropped out, unexpectedly, so we didn't. But, I mean, you know, beating Team Tempest, we've still been kind of riding the tie. I mean, we didn't beat them, we won one time, but it's like a moral victory, I guess. We've still been riding that high.
Yeah,
and
sure.
For the past week, my like team Discord was pretty dormant because I played some solo queues with, like, the players individually, but we're planning to do Battle Cup tonight, maybe. So that's hopefully going to be a success.
Very cool.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
You'll do great.
One day we'll win the Battle Cup with each other as well, where we won't get smurfed.
Yeah, maybe.
I think mathematically pretty unlikely with the state of Smurfs and Battle Cups.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get there at some point. One of the people in our community had like 5 straight Battle Cup victories, like not smurfing in like tier 4 or something.
Damn, it's pretty spicy.
Yeah, it's wild. I saw it on his like profile.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of players who are way better than us, who may or may not also be smurfing, do you guys want to get into the news?
Yes.
Yes.
To read the future, I need entrails.
Yes, we have the We Play Pushka League, which is still being played.
Pushka.
Also currently being played, I think. Who's playing right now?
I think I just said that. Who's playing right now? I don't know. I see, like, some American
it's
teams.
It's YOLO Knight versus Chaos Commando. I guess that's the second division? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the first division, Liquid are doing it, gentlemen.
They literally crawled out of the dumpster into relevance again. Because they got, like, really, like, they just got owned in the past 2 tournaments they were in. And I don't know, felt like they were going to disband soon because they, like, didn't look like a team almost. But suddenly they beat, like, Secret, OG, and Nigma.
Wow.
So, I don't know. They're still a bit smelly from the dumpster, but I think they're getting there, you know?
I don't know, man. They 2-0'd VP recently.
Yeah.
VP won the last major, right?
Yes, they did. Won against OG. Yeah. Speaking of OG, they didn't reach the bracket stage. They performed pretty poorly in groups, and this is pretty funny. So, in there's a European group in this tournament and a Eastern European or CIS group. And in each group, one of the teams also has their like academy or like daughter team playing.
Right.
So for the CIS, it's VP Prodigy, which is a team that belongs to the org that runs Virtus Pro. And then there's obviously OG and OG Seed. And OG were like, sometimes after each day, they look like they're going to qualify for the bracket stage. And sometimes they look like they're not going to qualify. And OG Seed looked trash every game because they only won one series in the whole tournament. And that series is against OG. So they won one series. And with that series, they mathematically eliminated OG from the tournament. It was like a really important series for OG. And OG Seed hasn't won a series before then. And that was obviously the series they're going to win. So right. None of the OG teams is reaching the bracket stage just because of that. That was pretty funny.
Yikes.
I mean, I guess it eliminates conflict. I mean, it doesn't eliminate the conflict of interest, but it shows that maybe they didn't tell right. tell them to throw the game.
Yeah, they're not gonna intentionally throw so no team can win.
Yeah.
Oh man, they're fun to watch though.
Yeah. How do you think Secret is looking right now, Jim? You think it's time soon?
I mean, it has to be. Well, no, I mean, maybe not, because TI got pushed off, and so Secret has to fail at TI. So maybe,
maybe
their inevitable collapse will also be delayed. Because I saw him the other day, maybe this morning, maybe last night. Time is a flat circle now.
Every day is the same.
They looked really good. It seemed like they were losing, and then they just took two team fights and just walked away.
Yeah, that happens a lot. They have
so much better at that.
They have a very distinct play style, because most teams that are really good, remembering something like Liquid back when Kuro played on them at TI7, or VP back when they looked like the best team in the world for a whole season and won four tournaments in a row, they always looked really strong in the early game. And then they just pushed that lead. And even though maybe sometimes late game was a bit sloppy, they still won the game in the end, because their early game lead was so big. But with Secret, I feel like they always about equal draw in the lanes. And then they even though they're not in an advantageous position most of the time, they do two things, and those two things are always the exact thing they need to do to win two team fights in a row and then be suddenly in a really great position. It's very interesting to watch. It almost looks like they know exactly how and when to push their boundaries and when to push their strengths and stuff like that. Because even when it's equal, just because their late game and mid game execution is so good, they don't get stressed out and something.
Yeah, they're probably, they've all been around for, I guess Niche is relatively new to the top tier, but they've all been around for so long, they're unflappable. And
yeah, that's true. They have a little veterans on the team.
And like you said, they just don't get freaked out and
that's true.
Are comfortable with that late game. But yeah, they play Liquid next, so yeah, very exciting in the bracket.
They got beat in the groups, but, if Liquid's riding really high right now, but the higher you are, the further you fall. Is that how you say it? I don't know how that saying actually goes in English. I think I just made that up.
No, it's pretty close. What is it? The bigger you are, the harder you fall?
Oh,
yeah.
What is it
that's
saying?
That's like a close Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say. The bigger you are, the harder they fall.
By the way, guys, my new favorite team. What do you guys think of NiP?
New favorites,
yeah.
Huh?
I don't know anything about them, really.
That's the cool thing. They're very... So they used to be Chicken Fighters. And they had a really good run at the ESL One Los Angeles Online. Oh, by the way, ESL, they need to make their names shorter. Because I'm not going to, when calling out the groups, the correct name would be ESL One Los Angeles 2020 Online, Europe and CIS. Nobody says that, right? Nobody's going to say the full name, so they might as well make it shorter. Anyway, Nip, they used to be chicken fighters, and once PPD retired, Nip just joined the chicken fighter squad and picked them up.
Ah.
So they're looking pretty good, to be honest. They've been, you know, if you qualify in a tournament before OG and Team Nigma, even though OG played with two subs, I think we forgot to mention that before, because mid one, he's stuck in Malaysia, and Sumail is stuck in...
Topson's in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Topson...
Right? Sumail's around.
Yeah, I mean, Topson is in Malaysia and mid one as well. And then yeah. Sumail sometimes plays from NA with 100 ping and sometimes doesn't. So each time OG played in its in this tournament, you like didn't know which random assortment of players they're going to bring this time. Sometimes they had 3-3 sub in. Sometimes they had Wish. Sometimes they had CCNC from NA playing with 100 ping as well. And then one time they actually had mid one play from Southeast Asia with 200 ping. And he won one game, actually. He carried one game and then got dumpstered the second game. But still pretty impressive if you can play a pro game with 200 ping and win.
Hey, are you breaking like an international issue here? Like, how is Sumail sometimes playing from NA and sometimes not? Like, is he getting chartered flights around during the pandemic?
I don't think he's getting chartered flights. Maybe at like something come up. Like, usually he plays for them. He just plays with 100 ping because like, 100 ping, it's manageable, right? Like, even I can win games with 100 ping. But 200 ping is almost unplayable, I'd say. Like, the difference between 100 and 200 ping is night and day.
It's a lot of ping.
Yeah, it's a lot of pings, for sure.
It's way too many.
Way too many pings. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Sumail had something come up. But most of the time, he's playing for them. He's looking pretty good. I just don't think you can like make any like really conclusions that are worth something right now from the OG right now, because just changing one player shakes up team dynamics so much that if you play with two subs and like two of your players have 100 ping, I don't know, you can like fault them for getting eliminated early, because the margins between the top Dota teams are so low that like just that small disadvantage can snowball really quickly.
Can I gush about Sumail for a second? Can we permit this? So I haven't watched a ton of in the past week, I haven't watched a lot of Dota, but I was watching more prior to that. And Sumail's versatility is like really underrated. Like most, I would say that like not only like he was the best mid in the world, right? That's like pretty.
Yeah,
that's not too much of a stretch, right? That's like,
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily true, but I also don't think it's a controversial thing to say, because he's definitely up there.
Okay, so top three?
Yeah.
Okay, so but then you watch him play, and he's playing safe lane, right, for OG?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was a statement. No, sometimes he plays mid, sometimes safe lane.
Yeah. And so, like, he just flawlessly transitions to this mid laner from the mid laner who, like, is really active around the map, like, making all this space. Like, even if he loses his lane, he, like, still is a crazy playmaker. He just changes totally into this safe laner who apparently just doesn't make that many mistakes. And I was watching him play Terrorblade, and his team was like, you know, doing normal team stuff, like making space, and then he's just six slotted and they win. Like, easy. He just makes it look really easy. And I think, like, even with the team who's new and with stand-ins and stuff, and he's playing with ping, like, it just seems to not matter. And it's
very impressive for sure. They had to play Terrorblade a ton, actually, because Terrorblade gets like a lot of bonus damage very early with his metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. And the biggest downside of having ping, like late game, it doesn't matter that much. Like team fighting with 100 ping isn't that hard, but CSing is like the hardest part for sure. So having that 30 damage, I think at level 1 is what metamorphosis gives you to secure CS, made their games a lot easier.
And his Terrorblade has just been absolutely terrifying.
As well.
Like, You just like, you know, it's like you turn the game on, they're taking high ground at like 22 minutes. He has like 390 CS. You're just like, I don't even understand what's going on. Also, like they're OG, like you, like just following up on your point, Aaron, about how like you can't gauge what's going on. Like they showed the last couple of years that like you can just do whatever you want for 6 months.
That's true.
And then just go be the best team in the world. Like they're like the Kobe and Shaq Lakers. You can just like cruise into the playoffs as the sixth seed, but if you're the best team, you could just go win.
Yeah, that's true for sure.
It's pretty good.
Well, we won't see it
this
year, probably. On TI. I mean, there's like a small chance TI is going to happen this year, but it's very minuscule.
Yeah, who knows? Can't predict anything.
It's bad, man.
Yeah. So, let's, saying it's bad, man, you know who's bad?
Oh, no, he's...
Bristleback.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Tiny, what?
No, yeah, Tiny is, but pro teams apparently have keyed into that, and they don't even pick Tiny anymore. Oh, but they are picking Bristle. Yeah, I know. And Bristle has a 36% win rate on 31 picks.
Damn, really? I thought like he looked so strong every time I saw him.
Right? And then he's just losing all his games.
Why do you think that is?
I think pro teams are just good enough to deal with it.
I also have a theory, because he has two passive abilities. You know, Valve has like been slowly taking all the heroes that had two passives and making them have at least three actives, like, for example, Wraith King. And I think Bristleback is probably next on the queue, because two passives, like, even though like the passive abilities that he has are obviously like super strong, Bristleback is like top three passives in the game. It's like a first pick in ability draft every time. But you know, you're very strong, but what's really good to have in Dota is options, even though like you don't use them a lot sometimes. Like if you have a lot of abilities, it's still very good to have the option, because it deters people from making plays. And having only two abilities, if you're owning already, it's cool to have. But if you're not owning, it limits your options on what your offlaner can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Aaron, you've been watching this tournament a bit, right?
A fair bit, yeah.
Do you think the pro meta, I mean, pubs are fun. I like this. But do you think the pro meta is getting stale? I think it is.
I think it's still fun to watch. I personally don't feel like the pro meta is getting stale, but I could definitely see why you would think the pro meta is getting stale. Because right now the meta has been like the past... I feel like with the last few patches, like the last year, people always say like, wow, early game and lanes matter so much at this, like right now. But it just keeps getting more early game centric with every patch. Up until the last patch, where they reversed the deny changes and they made denies not give gold anymore, and they made denies give a bit less XP to the guy who's denying and a bit more XP to the guy getting denied. So my theory is that even though the meta right now is a bit slower than and a bit less early game and mid game centric than maybe 2 weeks ago, it takes time for pros to adjust to new metas.
Okay.
So right now I feel like pros are still playing like it's two metas like two patches ago, but that's not like the correct patch. So I think once they get to settle a bit, because right now it's like, at least in the EU region, it's like 4 week online leagues back to back. Like we had the ESL One Los Angeles tournament for like 4 weeks. Now we have this tournament, which had like a 2 week bracket stage, and then it's a huge bracket as well, and they have two divisions, and in like 1 day after that there's another tournament, the Dota Pit tournament, with like almost all the teams that were participating in this tournament, and then there's another tournament after that, the Blast Bounty Hunt. So just playing Dota back to back all the time without getting downtime to boot camp and strategize, teams just go into this like routine mode, basically, because it gets exhausting trying to find new strats all the time and trying to adjust your strats. So you're going to be a bit more you're going to be a bit more incentivized to pick stuff that you already know. So maybe that's why you think the meta is getting stale. Because right now, the pick variety isn't that big, actually. So
Yeah. That makes it feel, I think, a little repetitive when you see the same heroes all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. The your idea about all the tournaments coming up and everyone just not spending the time.
I mean, it's not just fans suffering from burnout. Pros have that as well, for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like Ember, Void Spirit, Pangolier, Mars, it's like every single pro game.
Yeah, could be worse though. At least it's like the heroes that are in the meta are like halfway decent to watch. I don't mind watching like Ember.
Fun to watch,
stuff.
It's true.
Like, I don't want to go back
Ember's
to the
exciting. Rubik is exciting.
PLTB meta. I remember ESL 1 Hamburg 2018. The grand final was like a 6-hour best of five. And I was in the press room and everybody was just moaning every time they picked the same heroes because it was literally PL and TB every game and it was like a 70-minute game and nobody wanted to see that, man. God. Yes. So I'm glad God. It's fun heroes to watch at least.
That's true. It is better in that sense. Ready to do Hero of the Week, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
You're tougher than Axe thought. Come along.
Feeding time.
Have a cookie.
Meatball. More meatball.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
All right, this week's Hero of the Week is Razor.
Woo.
The Lightning Revenant.
Brought to you by
Gillette. The hottest. Well, what?
Nothing. Keep going. Sorry.
The hottest position 5 hero in the We Like Dota world right now, thanks to patron RX Cowbell. Who plays position 5 Razor like exclusively now? Should I, Sam? While you read his lore.
Oh, I'm ready with the lore. Oh. It's a really basic, short, didn't All try right. hard lore. So, Razor is a Lightning Revenant, and he patrols something called the Narrow Maze, which is passages where the souls of the dead are sorted according to their intelligence, cunning, and persistence. And he drifts above the maze. And he punishes the souls. And it's unclear what really happens in the maze. I just like the idea that everybody gets sorted by their various...
By their main attributes, yeah. Pretty much, right? Just sorts them based on their strength, agility, and intelligence.
Yeah, it's a little strange, though. Like, I don't know what he's like punishing them for. Or what he's really doing there.
I mean, maybe...
It doesn't really...
Souls can fly, right? So I'd imagine because a maze, it's two-dimensional. And he watches out that the souls, they actually, like, go through the maze and do the maze properly and don't just, like, fly over and then check where they have to go. That's my headcanon, I guess.
Yeah, so the souls decide their own fates, hurrying towards luminous exits or endlessly dark pits. Mm. So I guess he makes sure that they do that.
Yeah. And he's a sadist, apparently. It says here that even though it's like a pretty, like, he's like a guardian, it's not necessarily an evil thing he's doing. He's just like death, basically. He has a sardonic satisfaction in his work, is how it reads here. So he's a bit of a sadist. Yeah. He enjoys like whipping people and stuff.
Yeah,
you guys know who also guards the Narrow Maze?
Who?
Visage. They come from the same home region, I guess. Yeah, he also guards the Narrow Maze with his familiars.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know the voice line from Razor about the Narrow Maze.
True. Yeah, he references it a lot.
He's very into his work. He takes pride in his work. I mean, I think you can appreciate that.
Yeah, that's true. He also like has the worst puns in the game, I feel like. Like it's just a like bad electricity or static pun every time he opens his mouth.
Hey, do you guys I know Greg sure hates Razor's voice.
Some people do. I don't mind it personally.
I kind of like it. How about you, Aaron?
I'm neutral on it, I think. I don't mind it. But I also don't think it's like a well-sounding voice for sure.
Yeah. So I'll describe his abilities now.
Very good.
And then we'll talk a little bit about how to play him as a position five, because that's what all the cool kids are doing.
Yeah.
He is a ranged agility hero, although he attacks with a whip, and so it doesn't look like it's ranged. It actually is. His auto attack also had a nasty timing in that you'd actually deal the damage when he was pulling the whip back, but they changed that in a recent patch. So it's a little easier to last hit with him.
Yeah, it felt off always. I remember trying to see it with it. It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's when he like jerks it back was when the damage would actually happen. His Q, Plasma Field, sets out a wave of energetic plasma that grows in power as it expands. It's a ring that comes out from him and follows him around as he moves because it expands and then contracts. It deals more damage the farther away from Razor that it is. And it also slows enemies hit by it more the farther away from Razor it is.
Mm.
Yeah. And it hits twice, once in each direction on its way out and on its way back. Mm. Yeah, it's just, I don't even want to know like how you calculate this stuff. Just hit people at the maximum and that's the best.
Yeah.
Good Razors just always manage to like skirt exactly in the right place to hit like ranged creeps twice at the max to kill them.
I mean, he's a quick boy. Farming it's not that hard to pull off, I feel like. I don't want to give Razor players too much credit.
You're only saying that because you have a Razor player on your PBDL team now.
That's true.
He's slow, but he speeds up because of his E, which is a passive called Storm Surge, which grants him... Oh, I didn't realize how this worked. Okay, it's a speed aura for you and your allied heroes within 1,200 units.
Mm.
Your allies gain 6%, scaling up to 18% bonus speed. Or no, they gain 2%, scaling up to 8% bonus speed. You get 6%, scaling up to 18% bonus speed. It's one of the few percentage-based speed increases left in the game.
Oh yeah, they changed all that.
Because they have to change that all the time.
They do change that a lot. Oh, wow.
God, it's so annoying. but that speeds them up, especially when you start stacking stuff like Yasha or Drum or whatever. Yules, sometimes. His defining ability really is his W, however, an active called Static Link. It creates a charged link between Razor and an enemy hero. While that link is active... it steals damage from the target and gives it to Razor. He retains that buff for 18 seconds. And Razor continuously attacks the linked target.
That's a pretty new change, right?
Even while moving. Yeah, that was just a couple patches ago. Even while moving, they do not draw aggro. Razor can't attack other targets during the time, but like I said, they don't draw aggro, and they also attack through Bane Nightmare, which is fun. And don't wake the target.
He can attack while his back is turned to units with this as well. He doesn't even have to face the guy.
Yeah, and it just utterly dominates your lane because you just steal, you know,
all the damage.
35 damage from the guy right at the beginning of the laning phase, and he can't last hit or deny anything.
Yep.
Also, it makes Mask of Madness very good. Because Mask of Madness gives you move speed and attack speed, and the attacks under Static Link happen at Razor's attack speed. So you just, like, link, mask, and the person just dies.
Put your ult on
first.
And you're
life-stealing the whole time. Oh, if you have your ult, yes, you should put your ult on. That is R, Eye of the Storm. It is an AoE around Razor that shoots little bolts of lightning from a tiny dark cloud over Razor's head. They attack every 0.7 seconds. They reduce armor by 1 and do 40, scaling up to 70 damage. Actually, the strike interval scales from 0.7 to 0.5 seconds. And then it also does passive damage around him. Every 3 seconds, he just emits like a pulse, and everything within 500 range takes 60, scaling up to 140. Physical? Is that physical?
Yes.
Because the lightning bolts are physical damage.
I think it's physical.
Is the burst physical? That's cool.
I'll test it.
Okay. And then if you get an Aghanim Scepter, Eye of the Storm can hit buildings, and there are two lightning bolts every, you know, 0.7, 0.6, or 0.5 seconds. But they can only hit different units. So you can't double up your lightning bolts, but they can hit buildings and units. The lightning bolts also strike out only at enemy units with the lowest health.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you're like, it finds the guy you're trying to kill out of the crowd. And I think it also prioritizes enemies that you're actively static linked to, but it doesn't say that here. I thought that was the case for a while.
Okay, it's magical damage. The passive component is magical damage. Just testing.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, also a lot of these things pierce spell immunity. So the lightning bolt from Eye of the Storm pierce spell immunity. It's static link pierces spell immunity. And there's like virtually no way to get rid of that.
Yeah, you can't dispel it.
It's undispellable. Like if you static link a juggernaut and you start spinning, the link starts like vibrating. like it was like an actual string attached to someone spinning. But he can't get rid of it.
What about Omnislash?
No.
I'll test it. I don't know. Okay, another test. Give me a second.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Nah, it feels bad.
But you can try
it. Yeah, I'll test
it. Unless the Omni Slash takes him like so far away from Razor, I think.
So it sounds like you should be playing this guy as a core, and traditionally he is played as a mid-hero, sometimes as a carry, or sometimes as an offlane in some odd lineups, where he just, you know, dominates the lane through using static link and just runs into team fights with lightning all over the place. But we like Dota patron RX Cowbell, aka Rex Cow, has been playing Razor as a position 5. Have any of you had? I've had a couple chances to play with his position 5 Razor. Have any of you guys?
I have not had the pleasure of playing with him.
Only once have I had the privilege.
Yeah, that was a peculiar game for a variety of reasons. I played like the first time. He's like, "Oh, I want to play my POS 5 Razor." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I picked Terrorblade. I don't know, because I just wanted to play Terrorblade. And I just had free farm for like the first 6 minutes of the game. I didn't even see the offlaner because he just links him and runs at him. And like, you have to do something about that. You can't like ignore.
That's true, yeah.
The Razor's going to steal all your damage, and he's whacking you with stuff. And he's pretty quick, like you mentioned. So if you get, like, Shoe and Windlace, you can fly around pretty good. And he just creates, like, he just forces them out of lane. Like, you have to pay attention to a Razor. And then he's got, like, an AoE slow with Plasma Field. Eye of the Storm is just, like, weird kind of passive damage. It just happens. So he doesn't have those things that are traditionally associated with a position 5, but like you're guaranteed to win your lane because he's just going to force everyone out of lane. And then people keep going on the Razor because they think he's a core. And so like every team fight starts with like people like dispensing their ultimates on Cowbell. Cowbell's like, "I'm the position 5. And then we just like take a lane of Rax. It's wild. Like, and no one, and I can't imagine the kind of arguments you must have in draft rooms and pubs when he's trying to convince people that he's a position 5.
Does he go Egg Scepter at some point to just like push down buildings really quickly?
I don't know. I mean, he goes, I don't know if he gets that far. Like in the Terrorblade game we played, like I was, you know, taking entire barracks in 19 minutes.
Easy refarm.
He gets a Yule's. Yeah, he gets a Yule's Scepter. Although even Core Razors were getting Yule's Scepter for a while. And he gets Greaves. He gets like a really early Greaves.
Greaves makes sense.
Yeah, because he can farm reasonably well too. I mean, like if you do get that open lane, you know, between Eye of the Storm and Plasma Field, you could just like take a bunch of camps in the lane.
I can get behind this. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, he did it last night. We were playing a game with Ursinity from another Dota 2 podcast. And like he did the Razor thing again, and he just gave our Sven like a ton of space, and the Sven just killed everyone 20 minutes into the game.
Oh, by the way, I just tested it. Actually, he steals damage through Omnislash. So not even Omnislash can dispel it. That's insane.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We tried to tell you.
I remember I was watching on Reddit. I still love the Bane interaction because I always wanted to do Bane Razor anyway. Just to get like, oh, I can get a max static link off. But then I was on Reddit, and Mason, I think, was playing Razor, and a Bane came in and slept one of his Static Link targets, and he's just standing there whacking the guy, killing him.
Really strong.
And the guy's like still asleep. It's so OP.
Wait, the
and then he comes out of that with a max link.
Why doesn't
like 270 damage?
Why doesn't that wake up the target?
Because I guess it's just
it's like
active
an automatic attack. Yeah.
Insane.
What else are automatic Sight attacks? Gunner, I don't remember.
If you got
There's something else.
On Tribocopter.
Oh yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I guess like the way they had to code it.
Yeah, makes sense. Full interaction.
Yeah, I like Razor. So you've played Razor quite a bit, Sam. Is that right?
He's one of my mid heroes because just the change to Static Link made him so much easier to play.
That's true, yeah. You don't have to decide between chasing or attacking to get value out of your W anymore.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, he's just a lane dominator, which is, it just feels like it's just never bad. It's just never bad to be good in lane.
That's true.
Is how I feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's fun. He's fun.
That's good.
I don't know. That's all I kind of got.
Yeah, he is fun. Go play Razor, position 5, everyone.
Yeah.
All of our listeners. Your pub teammates will love it.
For sure. Oh.
Want to head off? Do you have anything else? I mean, I don't know. You just.
Nah, I'm good.
You can buy anything. I mean, if you're playing POS 5, you could just buy support stuff.
Yeah,
you can
Yules is good.
On core, go not. Like. What do you go? Like Phase Boots, then like a Saint and Yasha most of the time. Maybe a Butterfly. You're very. Like, Razor, he's a very versatile hero. Like, you can build him to do a lot of AoE damage. You can build him to do a lot of single-target damage. And he doesn't have, like, a cookie-cutter build, except, like, Phase Boots, maybe.
Right.
I don't think Threats is that good on him. So that's, like, why I almost always go Phase Boots. But what you're going to build depends on what you're going up against. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I'm ready. Head us over, Jim.
Okay, good.
Hold on, I want to talk about his items, actually. I'm sorry. Because
items?
Because okay. I feel like you said, you can build almost anything on him. So, like, Yules is good, because you can static link somebody, and then Yules them in the air. Rod of Atos is good. I'm talking about, like, position 5.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Force Staff is good. You could go, like, Aura build, and go Drums.
Vlads, maybe.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Vlads, also really nice.
Yeah.
So, I know that, I don't know, I feel like the patch is kind of weird and still settling, but I do think that the patch is versatile, and he's versatile.
That's true.
And so you should exploit that in your item builds. That's all.
Very cool.
Okay. Thank
good
you.
Good thoughts. Note, however, that if you buy Scotty or Desolator, it'll change the way your right-click looks.
Yeah.
So then maybe you can...
I mean, I think that's a good thing. I hate this animation.
Timing. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's really awkward. All right, noobs as
yep.
noobs.
Nan.
All right, hearing no objections, let's go to our favorite part of the show.
Whoop.
Noobs as noobs.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war.
The first is from Salty Persian. What steps could be made to have a larger female player base in Dota 2?
I mean, I think this is a pretty hard thing to do for a lot of Dota players, but don't be toxic towards females would be the first and most effective step, I'd say. But a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is... I don't know if Dota 2 is special with respect to this question of just kind of being a good place for women to come play in the online game world. I mean, I think it always kind of stinks for them because of those toxic guys.
I think WLD is a good place. We have a lot of women in our community, and I rarely almost never see people like being toxic just because they're women or stuff like that.
Yeah, we're toxic because we're toxic, not because
we're toxic towards everyone equally.
Right. No, yeah, I mean, I think supporting like female-friendly gaming spaces.
Shout out
like,
to the Desolades.
Desolades. Things like that. Like, just, you know, be good and support those. Sam, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, just don't be a jerk. I don't know how to... I mean, I think one way we could is if Valve went to the Hearthstone system of only expressing yourself via emotes.
I'm not sure. I feel like Dota is so communicative. Maybe
I'm not talking about that part. I'm just saying
like against the other team.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not talking about how it would affect other aspects of the gameplay. I'm just talking about how it would impact the overall experience and welcomingness of the game. To be honest, I don't think that my teammates and I really share that many great tactical thoughts. I personally would be willing to sacrifice. Half the time I end up muting my team anyway, so I mean, it's like, you know, like if I'm playing alone, I certainly don't say anything to teammates.
That's true. I use a lot of voice chat, so for me, I would hate to like be muted, but I'm also like not toxic, so I guess that's debatable.
Yeah, I also can't tell because I still have you muted.
True.
So,
maybe we should also try to answer this question next time because this week we don't have Charlene on, which is kind of bad timing for this question.
That's true. Ask a bunch of white guys how to get more women in the game.
Feels bad.
Yeah, don't be toxic.
So we could give advice to men at least. Don't be toxic. Digital Nick asks, what is the best external factor that Dota has had on you? What friends have you made? Has it taught you any skills that are useful in day-to-day life? I don't think it's taught me any skills that are useful in day-to-day life.
No.
But I've certainly made some friends. I like met you guys in person even.
Hey.
Like that's pretty wild. Like not only just like I love our Discord. I love chatting our Discord about whatever. I mean, it doesn't just have to be about Dota. And we all hung out in Philly a couple times. That's pretty wild. If I were passing through either Berlin or Pittsburgh, someday when we are allowed to leave, then I would definitely stop in and buy you guys a cup of coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
Likewise with a lot of our listeners that I've talked to. I had dinner with the old Raven from British Columbia when he drove across the
country. If only he knew how to read a map. He skipped right over. Got him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm the same, really, as Jim. Met a lot of folks that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And I think really expanded my openness to meeting folks online and interacting with people online.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I also, obviously, the whole podcast through, I would consider a ton of people who are on the podcast right now and people who are not on the podcast to be my friends, obviously. And then also like having people to travel to when I travel to the US and stuff, like spending time in Pittsburgh, New York, and with Ursi and stuff. That's obviously very cool. Skills wise, I mean, when I was younger, I used to be very impatient. I feel like Dota, I mean, I'm still pretty impatient, but not as much anymore. I think Dota helped me at least a bit, you know, with tempering and being impatient. Because if everybody around you is a screaming baby, you kind of have some time to reflect inwards and think about your own behavior, for sure. And skills-wise, I don't know, the podcast taught me audio editing.
I should say that. I should say that too as well. That's a skill.
Yeah, that's a skill. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, again, this is another question that would be great if Charlene were here. But I think that's one of the things we're learning as we go through these questions. It's It's better to have Charlene around. The next question is from Dora the Destroyer. He says, what's your highest and lowest stat? And we're talking about the, like, pentagon in your Dota 2 profile in the client. Sam.
Oh, no, no. I have to open the... No,
got him.
Arian.
So
called you out. I'm looking over your shoulder.
My highest stat is fighting, and my lowest stat is supporting. But right now, actually, my highest stat is farming. And I think that's because this pentagon only looks at your most recent 20 games. And I played anti-mage four times out of the last 20 games. Wow. So I think that made the pentagon just make farming beat fighting by a tiny margin. But usually it's fighting.
Hmm. Yeah. My fighting is the lowest.
Who would have seen that coming?
I know. Yeah, the issue with me and farming is that I also often play support with when I'm with, like, stacked with people. So my farming never ends up getting that high, and my supporting never ends up getting that high. Usually I have very high pushing. But right now I have high versatility for some reason. Mm. And I'm trying to see if I've played any two heroes the same in my last 20 games. And maybe not. Only a couple silencer, that was it. So yeah, my versatility is 8.95 right now, which is almost at the limit.
Very cool.
Sam, do you have the client up?
I do. I'm ready.
All right. What's your pentagon look
my
like?
My pentagon is really high supporting, and then lowest is pushing. Mm. Like, farming and fighting are kind of even. Versatility is kind of even. Like, moderate. All are moderate, except for big support guy.
Big support
and
guy.
And low pushing guy. Low push guy. Which I think makes sense, because, like, when I play support, it's like I'm playing, like, you know, I don't even know. Like,
Undying.
Yeah. Or like Lion. Like, I don't push.
Famous,
you know?
Pusher, Undying. Right. Amazing at hitting buildings.
Famous.
Yeah.
yeah. Pretty good. I guess you could use Tombstone to push, in theory.
They don't hit buildings.
Maybe. No, but they kill the creep wave.
They'd stall the creep wave.
Yeah.
But
that's the next level play. Yeah. Like 80-second cooldown.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Stall every other creep wave.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
next question from listener Allie. You have been tasked with making the new Dota hero based on an animal as a tie-in between Volvo and some good animal-helping organization. What animal do you pick? And what are its abilities?
Hmm.
Who you got, Arian? God,
why me first?
Because you're right. Next.
Nice.
I'm just going in order.
Animal. What animal isn't in Dota already? Maybe a snake? Do we have a snake? No, we don't have a snake.
Vipers.
I mean, Vipers like a...
Medusa? Kinda?
Yeah, but Medusa's like a gorgon. She's not a snake.
Yeah.
We don't have like a real snake hero. Like, snakes don't have wings. Thankfully, snakes don't have wings. That would be pretty terrifying. What would a snake hero have for a build? I mean, obviously, like a poison bite would be very fitting. Either you make it like a weak poison, so it's a normal ability, or you make it like really strong poison, so it's the ultimate ability. Then I would like something that... are snakes good at climbing, like, terrain?
Some.
I don't know.
Some, you know, some snakes burrow in sand. Other snakes climb trees.
Yeah.
Oh, I have an idea, actually. So, you know these snakes? They're very scary. They're in the, I think, South American jungle, and they're tree snakes, and they jump from their from the trees on their victims.
Yeah.
So... some tree jumping ability, similar to what Monkey King has, would be very cool.
Nice.
Then an ability that makes it shed its skin. So maybe you shed your skin, and while the skin regrows for like 10 seconds, you have increased regeneration or something. And if you're like a dark magic snake or something, maybe you can reanimate your empty snake skin and use it like a summon and make it do some stuff. Yeah, that's my quick hero concept for snake hero.
Very cool.
Hit me up, Ice Frog.
So the tie-in between Volvo and a good animal helping organization. I don't think we truly have a dog hero, do we?
Nah, closest we got. We got Wolf.
We got Lycan, who turns into a wolf. I guess that's too close. What about a cat? We only have Phantom Lancer, who's like kind of cat-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people who ride cats, but there's no cat hero.
Yeah, so I'm going to go cat.
Lion.
Oh,
he's not. He has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the fact that his name is Lion.
Right. But. He's like a really swole.
He's like a dude.
Dude with an animal.
Is he
head.
Swole?
Yeah. If you, it's he's sneaky yeah, swole.
Oh,
if you
looking
bring
at
up
him
his,
right now, he has huge hands.
It's all muscles.
Jesus.
And really big biceps. It's really strange. Yeah. His thing is
tiny,
weird.
Tiny feet.
So
he has, like,
I think
almost. I wouldn't even call those feet.
Almost, they're almost like yeah. elephant feet.
So I think the cat, there would be a stealth element. So
yeah,
like a padfoot element. So that could be. I guess there are already a lot of invis types of heroes.
Maybe like a new stealth ability. Like, it's not invis, but it's like camouflage or something.
Mm. So kind of like a tree passive.
Yeah, yeah, something.
But actually, okay, here, we're going to do the inverse of the trees. You have to be far away from the trees.
Mm, very cool.
Because cats can't, when they climb the trees, they get freaked out. And
that's true. You gotta rescue. The Monkey King has to go up and get him down.
Exactly. The fireman has to go up there. So that'll be
How
one.
How about a night vision ability as well?
Yeah, big night vision. That's a nice passive, and your allies get it too. Because, yeah.
Oh.
And then, we could do like a. Oh, I guess Mirana already has a pounce ability.
You can have multiple pounces.
Yeah, I'd like there to be a gap close. Let's do something like that, kind of like Ricky's blink strike. We can do that. And then we could do... What else do cats
scratch.
Do? Scratch? Sure. Bonus attack damage and slow. How about that?
Maybe
sounds
like
great.
A dot, right. Because people are bleeding from the cat scratching you.
Yes. Sounds good.
Yeah, don't you get some weird infection or something if a cat bites you?
Yeah, you can. Hospital? It can be bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Cat scratch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat fever. No, there's some, it's called something, isn't it?
Yeah, it hasn't. Like, it's like a legitimate infection that you have to get, like, antibiotics for.
Yeah.
I think.
Jim, what about you?
Yours better be good, Jim. You had a lot of time here.
I know. I had so much time. I was going in one direction in my mind, and then I switched it up. I think that the good animal helping organization, I'm going to have them partner with the GW Zoo in Wynnewood, Oklahoma,
cool.
And we're going to do a tiger.
Shout out to my
one.
Favorite zoo
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah, the largest big cat. No,
that's the wrong zoo.
No,
that's the dead
yeah,
husband.
Be nice
zoo, dude.
To
you can't name it that.
No, the GW zoo
yeah,
was
but
Tiger King. Big
cat
rescue was Carol
exactly.
Baskin's. Yeah. Either way, no. Actually, be nice to big cats. I was thinking of taking a different direction and thinking of Volvo, the automobile manufacturer.
Yeah, that's where I was going with the car, because dogs like to go in car rides. Mm.
Yeah, I was thinking something like techies, how they kind of drive a vehicle around.
That's right.
But instead, it would be like reindeer in a Volvo.
Reindeer in a Volvo.
All Swedish listeners, reindeer is the Swedish animal in my mind. And... So since it's a Volvo, they have to have at least one passive where the lower its HP is, the higher its armor is. Like, it's just impossible to destroy this thing.
Mm.
Like, you could do cosmetic damage to it, but it's never going to fail.
I think that should be something like the longer you've been alive, the harder it is to die.
Like, if the game goes really long,
yeah,
our Volvo reindeer have like 85
on. yeah
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Maybe something with status resistance? A lot of status resistance?
maybe the hero is just a right click and then three passives. Think of it magic.
Actual status resistance
and armor. The longer the game goes, absolutely nothing ever happens. And then because they're reindeer, the ultimate, they jump in front of the Volvo and it flies through the air like Santa Claus. Mm. And you become, and then you throw presents down at people, and the presents land on your allies and buff them for HP.
No, like movement ability where people get into the car and like drive around.
No, it has pretty good movement already. Like it's, but like Volvos are not performance.
I guess they're
not
fast. I guess
they're indestructible. Yeah, like the Volvo to me is like a sky blue station wagon.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know. Which, like, your family will be safe. Just like these reindeer will be safe as they dispense presents to their allies. And do apparently nothing else. So, that's
amazing,
my
amazing conception. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the most likely one to get picked up by Ice Frog.
Very cool.
In the next battle pass, which will happen. When, Arian? When?
In like
when's it coming
weeks,
out?
I think 2 or 3 weeks. Around then.
All right. Until then, well, we'll probably talk to you again next
Maybe.
Weekend.
We'll see.
But, yeah, we'll see. If you're lucky. any shout outs for us? Check out welikedota.com. Head over to our Discord, link from there. We're always having fun talking. Check out our leagues, our in houses, which are like all the time now because everyone's in. Because of coronavirus.
Yep.
Be nice to people. Don't be toxic. Anything else from you guys? Check out Sam's Instagram for all his pictures of his food.
Really good food pictures.
Food pictures, Pluto pictures, lifting photos and videos. Really good.
Hello.
Really good account. Really good art account as well.
Insane buffalo paintings.
I've diversified, haven't you seen?
All right, everyone.
See you guys next
Farewell.
Time.
See you next week.